Everybody that's going through anything in your body, I want you to stand to your feet this morning. You're going through anything in your body. Hallelujah. Now, anybody that's going through anything in your personal life, any struggle, anything you're dealing with that seems to be overcoming you and you not overcoming it, stand. Now, I want you to pair up this morning. We're moving forward. I want you to pair up with someone, whether they're going through anything in their body or anything that they're dealing with themselves. And I want you to touch them, because the Bible says if you touch and agree, two or three. I want you to say to them, my brother, my sister, I agree with you. I touch and agree with you that in the name of Jesus, whatever you're going through, whether it's physical or spiritual, whatever you are not able to overcome, I touch and agree with you. And by the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his fleshly body and his shed blood, we have now taken communion with him, and by his stripes we are healed, we are delivered, we are set free, we are made whole. And I decree and declare it so in Jesus' name. Now give him praise as you go back to your seat. You see, I want you to understand what communion really is. We already know what it's not because we've been taught wrong. But today I want you to understand what communion really is. It's to set you free. It's to make you whole. It's to heal your body. It's to deliver you from your hang-ups. Come on, the work is not on you. It's done through the cross. And when you partake of what was done on the cross, how can you not get delivered? How can you not be set free? How can you not be healed? But see, like I said in my opening, we've been taught that I had to live right. No, this makes you right. Somebody say the blood of Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. Say it again. The blood of Jesus. Come on, can you feel the power in that? Say it again. The blood of Jesus. Ain't in a feeling, but I already feel better. I already feel different. I already feel free. I already feel delivered. Tell your neighbor, it's in the blood. It's in the blood. Woo. I just heard the Holy Ghost say, my blood was tainted, but I just drank some purified blood. Say, I just had a blood transfusion. I just had a blood transfusion. Took out that generational stuff. Took out that Anthony stuff. Stuff I wasn't taught, but stuff I learned. Come on, y'all, I don't want to tell the truth. All the stuff you messed up with, you know, all that stuff didn't pass down. You, some stuff you're doing because you wanted to do it. If the song back in the night said, it ain't my fault. But it's the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do y'all believe that this morning? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you believe he will take away all your sins? Do y'all believe that this morning? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Right here. Right here. Right here. I don't ever want you to take communion again the way you used to take it. Don't take it the way you took it when you was 5 years old and they said you had to be baptized in order to take it. And I'm cool with the church ordinance. I really am. But, and I'm not even trying to change it. But the Ethiopian accepted Christ before he was baptized. So he could have, he had communion in the chariot. Amen. He had communion in the chariot on the way to the water. So we bless God this morning. We thank him for his goodness. We thank him for his kindness and his mercy. I really feel this communion this morning. Thank you, Lord. Who had a struggle last week? Come on, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. I asked you what you did. I said, who had a struggle? He died on the cross for your struggles. You just took communion. And you see, that's why he said, as often as you do it, I want to let you in on something. You don't have to wait till first Sundays at WMBC to take communion. If you have enough faith, you can get you a cracker and some juice at the house and say, God, I'm struggling right now. I need your blood and your body because I'm about to do some stuff. I need some real folk with me. Who need to go down to Scripture Haven and get them some little disposable communion cups. Oh, and by the way, we need to get some of those so Reverend Jones can minister some Lord's Supper this week. So I need to get that taken care of this week. You see, if we don't start seeing about who is not here, see, we're so busy seeing about who is here, trying to correct folk who already in the church when people are on the outside needing help and feeling like nobody don't care. And I'm needing somebody to be my hands and feet. I'm going to get here when I can, but you ought to be able to just be an extension. You don't have to have a position to go see about somebody. Now, I do count on those who do have the position, but you ought to love people enough to go. Thank you, Jesus. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. I kind of told you when I last ministered in this place that God was going to kind of shift us a little bit. And that we needed to go after God with everything that's in us. You know, I think we kind of get the misunderstanding that I'm saved. But sometimes with being saved can come satisfaction. And you ought to not ever be satisfied with where you are in God. In fact, quite the contrary, you should strive to get more of him. each and every day. Do you know that Satan strategizes against you every day? He doesn't wait till once a week. See, that's why you have so much trouble during the week. Satan strategizes against you every day. Wait. Let me make this clear to you. He has a meeting with his imps about you. What can I do to Jones today to get him off of his game? And check this out. God gives him permission to do so. But he can only go so far. But it amazes me, even though Satan's ability to afflict us is limited, he seems to always be successful. He makes you want to quit. He makes you want to give up. He makes you want to say, what's the use? He makes you want to, I don't want to be around people. Come on. And he is only doing what God has allowed him to do. And with that being said, I'll ask you a question. Why do you struggle so far with a limited attack? That'll preach one day. We struggle with Satan having limitations of what he can do to us. But the reason is, we're not going after God like we really need to be. Our attention is so, it's diluted until we give God what we have when we have time. And we give him what we have with already anticipating what else we're going to get into. We don't want to be like, I don't know how this is going to go this morning, but we'll just flow with God. We don't want to be like the children of Israel that basically had three big major services per year. And they would show up from their countryside villages to be in Jerusalem these three times a year. And they may have done their oblations or devotions all throughout the year, but these 3 days they would show up. And that's why I'm not a real big advocate of showing out on programs. Because you got some folk you don't even know they in the church until it's a big day. And they will get deathly mad at you for not putting them on the program, Andre. Yeah. Yeah. But I ain't seen your face all year. And now?
Come on, Pastor.
Huh? And so they would show up. Three times, Feast of Loaves, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Passover. And they would make their sacrifice. And Reverend Jones, it would be so many people, they would wear the priest out trying to bless all these sacrifices. Because what they wanted to do is they wanted to make atonement for the lifestyle they live in between these three church services. Somebody say amen. And what I want to make sure of this morning is that you're not coming here to make atonement for the week you had last week. You see, I don't care if you blew it every day. Don't come here to make atonement. Come here to give God praise that you're still alive. Because the bottom line is God, he doesn't want your sacrifices without your life. See, God does not want a dead sacrifice anymore. You know, what makes your sacrifice dead is when you come in here to give God praise to make yourself feel better. Am I talking to anybody? So often we come in here to make ourselves feel better because of what we've been through. And I'm not, y'all know I love praise, but it's some stuff you can't praise away. Now, I know they told you to shout it out. But have you ever had a stain on a garment and got the stain out, but then when you wore it again, you got something else on it? But see, when you get delivered, that stain can't come back. So they came these three times a year. Amen. They knew food was going to be served.
Yeah.
Y'all can say amen anyhow. Yeah, you may be sitting next to them, but go ahead and say amen.
Yeah.
They knew. The men knew plenty of women was going to be there. Talk to them if you can. The men knew plenty of men was going to be there. Say amen again. The women knew men was going to be there. Say amen. And the women knew women was going to be there. And so, man, it was on them three times a year. Tell your neighbor it was on. It was on. And the priests was taking all of their sacrifices. Some of them had to bring a whole lot of stuff, y'all. Is anybody in here like me? You got to bring a lot of stuff. You got to bring so much stuff, because every time you think about what you did, you say, oh, Lord, I need a sacrifice for that. Y'all excuse me this morning. I'm at home. I need a sacrifice. Oh, Lord, I need a turtle dove was, if you brought a turtle dove, that was for folk who didn't do a whole lot of stuff. So the turtle dove was like the lowest sacrifice. Maybe you just lied that in between your services. And so if you just lied, you could bring a turtle dove. But then there were some of them folk who were like me who had to bring an ox. Huh? Am I talking to any ox folk up in here? Then you have some in-between folk that they could bring a little sheep, a little ram. And then I ain't all the way at the top. You know, you had a turtle dove, a sheep, an ox. And then you have some folk who just tore it up all in between church. They had to bring a bullock. A bullock is a big, massive bull. In those days, it weighed 1,000 pounds. I've done my research. It weighed 1,000. How many of y'all done 1,000 pounds of sin? See, if you have the ox, you did about half of that. Ox was about 500 pounds. The turtle dove was a pound. I don't see no pound folk in here. I believe at the least you got a sheep. 40, 50 pounds. But then some of y'all graduated like me. You got an ox. But the good news is, wherever you are, God is looking for a living sacrifice. And so when they would come in, the priest would have to, see, they had to bring them alive. See what happened? I'm trying to move. Man, y'all messing with me. But at least the children of Israel had enough sense to bring their stuff alive and not walk in the door and pretend that it's dead. How many of you know some stuff in you is not dead yet? Well, I want to help you this morning. Go ahead and bring it to the altar alive. Because God has given me the power, I help you kill the thing.
Come on, man.
But some of us want to bring it like we know it ain't dead. No, it ain't nowhere close to dead when you used it last night.
Come on, man. Come on, pal. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
And so you have to bring it in here just like it is. Yeah. Huh? Don't worry about who looking at you come down the aisle with your sacrifice.
That's right. That's right.
Because the sacrifice is you.
Yeah.
See, when you're trying to disguise it, that's how folk can read you.
Yeah.
But if you be real, they ain't got no sense to even know you being real. But when you come in here faking and shaking, that's what stands out. Tell your neighbor, if you messed up, you just messed up. Come on to the altar and let's get it right. And so he would have to slay all of these sacrifices. And man, I bet he looked at some of them. So I bet some of them had two oxes. Because, and let me tell you something, they were really being honest because they wanted to get rid of what they had. And they didn't worry about it because they knew they had another 3 months before they had to worry about it again. How would you live if you didn't have to come to church for 3 months? Don't y'all answer that. Don't y'all. That if you didn't have to look at my face for 3 months, what would you be getting into? Y'all, do y'all want to tell me the truth? Let me tell you something. I wouldn't even want to be in a position where I didn't have to see you for 3 months because I don't know how much studying I would do. But I need to see you every week so I can get before God. And so they live, for lack of a better word, they live ratchet. Because they knew that if they made it to the church every 3 months, they were going to get their sins atoned for. But they had no intention of letting them go. They just wanted to get forgiven. You ought to always want to be forgiven with the intent of letting it go. What good is it to get forgiveness with your mind already made up? Let's do it again. Oh, somebody don't know nothing about that. Y'all too young. Y'all too young. You with your mind made up that you're going to do it again. You can look at the person next to you like they talking. I'm talking to them. But how many of you have sinned knowing you're going to do it again? How many of you have asked for forgiveness knowing I'm going to do it again? That's what Israel was. And God got so tired of it. Read this in your devotion time. It's Isaiah chapter 1. We won't even be dealing with that today. But read it in your devotional time. When they brought all this stuff, then the priests got so tired. How many of you know pastors get tired sometimes? Not tired of preaching, tired of dealing. He got so tired. And then God spoke to the prophet Isaiah because the priest didn't know what to do. You know, even the preacher needs somebody to talk to. Y'all didn't get that. You don't understand how it is when you don't want nothing but to see what I need. So the prophet Isaiah went to the priest. He said, "Priest, let me help you out, Pastor Lang. Let me ask a question. Are any prophets in the house?
Come on, y'all.
You see, we don't always need a prophet with a title. We just need a prophet with a word. Thank you, Jesus. And then some of y'all told, ooh, hear all that lightning. If they're about to blow the roof off the club, you didn't go home. You just got you another drink, so if it hit, I'm all right. Hurry up and get through, Pastor, we can go home. You stayed in the club till they locked the door. I ain't getting out there on that road. I'm staying here. You gonna stay with me? Yeah. Wait till this thing pass over. So we all stay in this church till it pass over. Don't go out there in it. Somebody go sprinkle some blood on the doorpost so it can pass over. Y'all know I can't operate when I've been off this long. I got 1 month of revelations that I don't know what I'm going to do with. But the prophet said, let me help you out, priest. This is what God told me. God told me to tell you to tell them that what makes them think that I am going to accept their sacrifices just because they walked in my house parading around as if they're holy, and I know how they've been living. He said it. Read it. You'll see it when you do your devotion. He says, tell them what makes you think I'm okay with that. So I said to myself, ooh, Lee, Lord, you ain't okay with me either. So let me tell you, the remedy to that is don't come in here with an atonement for your sins. Just come in here and give God praise for keeping you alive and ask him to deliver you. You know how people come in with a sacrifice. Ooh, Lord, where you going? You even tell your friend, ooh, I'm going to church today. Why? Ooh, I've been living bad. That ain't why you ought to go to church. Tell your neighbor, you ought to go because you love God. Even with your faults, you ought to love God. And so he told them, and you'll read it. He said, I'm tired of you bringing me all these bulls and oxen and sheep and rams and turtle doves, but you have no intention of doing any better. And so when we come here once a week or twice a week, whatever our scheduling is, we ought to come here with the intention of I want to be better each time I come, and I want to love God more each time I come. And here it is, I want to go after him with everything I have. But you got to understand, when you start going after God, you're going to have to let some other stuff go. When I start going after God, I'm not going to be able to hold on to some stuff, even if that stuff really ain't causing me no harm. It's still in the way. Tell your neighbor, it don't have to be sin to be in your way. And so when you're going after God, when you're pursuing him, that means that you're going to have to forsake some good stuff. Yeah. Wait. And see, we think if it's good, I can still do it. But if it is hindering you from going after God with everything in your hell, you're going to have to let some stuff go. You're going to have to say, well, I know I got this bill due, but I ain't prayed this week. So can you wait till next week and I'll take care of that? Because right now, I need to spend some time with God. Is there anybody in here with me like that? Yeah, I know what I need to do is important. But right now, I need God more than I need this $20. Getting out of overtime is not always the answer to getting out of debt. Can I give you an easy solution? If you go after God, you'll get out of debt. Woo. If you go after God, he'll take the stress off of you. Anybody in here with me? If you go after God with everything that's in you, he'll work out what seemed to be impossible. Tell your neighbor, if you really want what you want, go after God. Thank you, Jesus. So you got to push towards God. Do you know the more you go after God, the more you will fall in love with him? There's nothing that you cannot pursue, Dean, that you won't love it more. Amen. You see, can I help you? Z3, we Maryland. Can I help us? You can't stop pursuing her just because you got her. You got to make her feel like you still want her. When you didn't have her. When you thought somebody else Christ was going to get her. And so that is how we have to do God. We have to go after him. And even when we get close to him, we gotta still go after him like we ain't made it yet. That'll work for you, young men. Just go after God. Go make it your business to go after God. I don't care what's going on in your life. Thank you, Jesus. And the more you go after him, the more you will fall in love with him. If I took a polling across this church this morning and asked you, do you love God? 100% would say, I love God. But if I would break this word down to you and ask you, are you in love with him? I would challenge you to say, most of us are not.
That's right.
Because when you are, check this out, I'm going to mess you up real bad. When you are in love with God, you ain't in love with nothing or nobody else. So let's just stick with I love him right now. Because when you're in love with him, he has the totality of your heart. And the word totality means ain't none left for nothing or no one. Well, what about my wife? If you both in love with him, you both got the same thing, so ain't nothing missing, nothing broken. Come on, if you're single, you ain't got to worry about it. Cold showers will really help when you're in love with him. But when you just love him, that don't do nothing for you. Have mercy, Lord. And I am very understanding and very lenient because I've been single and I know. Amen. Folk want to talk about, you just need to quit all that dipping and slipping. Well, why you didn't quit? But now you want them to quit or either get out the choir. Amen. And the truth be told, some folk got somebody still slipping and dipping. Amen. I'm telling you, you better pray ye one for another. Praise God. And so when you are going after God, Marquise, go ahead and put the scripture up. I don't know, baby. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, and I'm going to give you 10 more minutes and we're going home. Isaiah chapter 55.
Okay. I'll read one.
Woo! And I like the way this is worded. Because when I went to chapter 1, I understood why Isaiah 54 chapters later said this.
Yeah, okay.
How many of you know you need to read a whole bunch of chapters sometime to really get the story? You see, that's what messes up a lot of preachers because they read one chapter, but 55 won't work without chapter 1. And so that's 54 other chapters that happen. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Are you ready, Lady Lane?
Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near.
Hallelujah. And just for a topic or thought today, we're just talking about in hot pursuit.
In hot pursuit.
Woo, Lord. Tell your neighbor I'm in hot pursuit. I might be in pursuing the wrong thing, but I'm in hot pursuit. But let me tell you something. It ain't all bad. You can be in hot pursuit, but you just need to change your target. Woo! You know, just change your target. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your drive. You can be seated. Don't lose your enthusiasm. But sometimes you got to change what you're going after. So when you are in hot pursuit, some of us can remember when we were in hot pursuit. We can remember when we were seeking. Because the word seek means to put forth the effort. You got to put forth an effort if you really. And to seek means you do it frequently. Don't tell me you love God, you talk to him once a week. Well, wait a minute. I let me back that up. You probably do love him if you talk to him once a week. But I would challenge you, you're not in love with him. Men, see, men don't ever say this, but most times women say, have you ever been told, I love you, I'm just not in love with you?
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, and what that really means is, I love you, but I love him too. That's what it really means. Because he paid one more bill than you did.
Yeah.
So whenever they say this, usually because it ain't because they fixing to be single, it's because they fixing to mingle. So God looks at it on that wise also. When we say we love him, then we need to grow to become in love with him. And we do that by pursuing him, not just sometime, but frequently. How many of you know the more frequently you do something, the better you get at it? When Andre first went to Ply Gym, he didn't know how to do what he does now and getting them windows ordered and all that kind of and getting accounts with people and bringing in business. But he's doing it what? Frequently.
Yeah.
You can't go there once a month and say and still think you got it going on.
Okay.
Amen. And here's a good thing to doing it frequently. The more frequently you do it, when you do miss, you don't lose ground.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. You cannot afford to miss when you don't do it frequently. So if you're going to seek God, you got to go after him. You have to frequently follow and pursue him. It is called eagerly going after. How many of you are eager to get to some places? How many of you plan the sequence of events for something you want to go down?
Come on, Pastor.
Come on. You don't get up the day of and think about it. You done already planned. You done called ahead, made reservations.
Yeah.
At the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You done already made reservations. Candlelit dinner at the restaurant. Your alias is already at the establishment. Who are you? Roger. I have a room reserved here. I'm paying cash. Can I help you today? Somebody say he's talking like he's been there and done that. That's not your business. Hey. Do I have to bring the room keys back in the morning knowing darn well you ain't going to be there in the morning? I like to say what y'all said. Because what we want, we pursue it and we make reservations and we make plans and we set it all up and we lay it all out. And look at this, even if something were to go wrong, we got a backup plan.
Yeah.
But when our car won't start to come to church, we don't have no backup plan. Click, 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 click. Lord have mercy, I can't go to church today. Y'all get out the car, take your clothes off. We're going to go to bed. We're going to bed. But when you want something, you go after it. And you prove to what you want that you love it and you're in love with it. Reverend Jones, sometime that ice cream will call you out to bed and get on a bicycle. I heard that sermon. Some of y'all done rode a bike because you wanted to get where you was going. And Leroy didn't answer the phone to come pick you up. So you got on the bike. I don't care if you had to walk. If it was calling you bad enough. Catch a cab. help if we have to. Ryan Transit, isn't it? I just need to get there. Where you going? Oh, I just need to get there. And that's the kind of motivation we need to have going after God. Because the more I go after him, the more I'm going to fall in love with him. It says, seek him while he may be found. That means that you got to presently take hold of him right now, while he may be found. Is he going anywhere? No, he's not going anywhere. But there's going to come a time when what you're seeking and what you need is not going to be available. He'll still be there, but you can be so messed up you don't even know what you're looking for no more. So you got to seek him and while he can be found and presently take a hold of him. In other words, don't wait. You got to have a sense of urgency. How many of you are urgent after God? Because I know if I get to him, he's going to outline what I need to do. He will direct my path. You know, I don't understand how we want God to direct our path and we ain't going after him. God, direct my path. Order my steps.
Yeah.
Why you want him to order your steps when you don't plan on walking where he wants you to go?
Yeah.
Your steps are already ordered.
Yeah.
They already ordered. He said the steps of a good man are already ordered. So what you got to say is, God, help me to go after you so I can get in the steps that you've already ordered. That's what the word predestined means. He's already laid your race out for you. You just got to go after him so you can find it. He said, if you presently take a hold of him and have urgency while he is near. In other words, while he's in the place. Somebody say he's in this place right now. That's why you got to seek him and find him right now. You don't even have to look hard. He's right here. And when he says he's near, it means he's your ally or he's your kinfolk. In other words, seek him while he's near. Get this and don't forget it. That means sometimes God is more ready to do for you than others.
That's right.
So that's when he said, I'm near. Come on, tell your neighbor. He said he's near. And what that means is I got what you need right here, right now. Don't wait, because if you wait till next week, I might be to step back a little bit. Tell your neighbor, if you want all that you need, seek him while he's near. So he says, I'm your ally. I'm right here to do it for you. I'm more ready right now than I was last week. So come on and get it. And he says, if you fall in love, see, the more you seek him, you'll fall in love. Falling with God, falling in love with Jesus. You know, we can say, yes, I love him, but how, Pastor Lang, do I fall in love with him? How do I give him my everything? How do I learn to leave myself behind and go after him? How do I fall in love with God? He just wants you to put him first.
Yeah.
Do you understand you can put God first and still not be perfect? Putting God first means that he is precedent in your life.
Right.
That he is foremost in your life. And listen, you may still miss the mark, but if you keep going after him, and if you keep pursuing him, you will find him. You can never look for God and not find him.
That's right. Come on.
Tell your neighbor, God ain't hiding.
God ain't hiding.
So if you look for him, you will find him. If you seek him, you will find him. Tell him again, no more excuses. If you look for him, you'll find him. We all can remember when we thought we were in love. Anybody, you ain't been that long, have you? That boy, that girl that your mama said, let them alone. Because I know they family, I know they people. But look like the more they talked about them, the more you wanted them. Somebody say amen. You ain't forgot. I know you don't want to let her know right now that you used to be somebody else. I know you don't. Yeah.
Come on.
And
and you thought that. And so when you're going after God, you know you love him.
But what do I do to fall in love?
Oh God, yeah.
You got to think about him.
Huh? You got to think about it.
Luther said, I thought about it.
I thought about it.
I said, yeah. If you want to fall in love, you got to think about him. You got to think about God through the day. Wonder what God doing.
Yeah.
Ooh, son, you got. I wonder, is he thinking about me? Oh, I can't wait to get out so I can call him. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. I'm working right now, but I can't wait to get out so I can call him. He's on my heart. He's on my mind. I can't wait. I can't wait to see him. I can't wait. So I gotta think about him. Think about how amazing he is. Think about how God sent his son to save you. Think about when how good he is to you.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Lord.
Right.
How many of you thinking about him right now?
Right.
If you want to fall in love with him, just start thinking about him.
Yes, right.
Typing on the computer, thinking about him.
Yeah.
Driving in the car, thinking about him. Mowing grass, thinking about him. Putting in glass, thinking about him. Flipping hamburgers, thinking about him. Doing labor reports, thinking about him. You got to think about him. And then you got to tell him you love him. How many of you just go through the day and say, I love you, Lord? See, if you start doing that, you're going to get in love with him. Walk through the day saying, I love you, Lord. Send him a text and say, I was just thinking about you, God. How many of you got God in your contacts? I know you got your boo. Somebody else's boo. The boo that don't even know they're your boo. How many of you got God in your contacts? And you'll just text him and say, I love you, Lord. I was just thinking about you, God. Can I call you later?
Yeah.
Ooh, am I talking to anybody today?
Yeah.
That's what we do when we're pursuing what we want. We tell them how much we love them. Even though they can't do for us what God has done, we still tell them how much we love. Spend time in his presence. How many of you spend time in God's presence? But Harold, when I want what I want, I'm going to spend time in their presence. Because I don't want them to doubt that I love them. Any pastor that don't spend time with his folks, you might want to doubt
Come
that.
Because
you have people on the opposite end of that and say, why he go out with them people, with his folks? He need to separate himself. You'll find a lot of churches right here in this city that they don't fellowship with their own flock. The only time they fellowship with their flock is when they getting something out of it. But how many of us will say, I got to give love to you and I show you by being in your presence. Invite me to your party part one. They didn't get it. I come to part one.
Yeah, that's right.
And the reason why I won't stay for part two, because I don't want you to lose confidence in me. That's too deep for somebody. But we show him that we love him by spending time, by being in his presence. Set a time to meet him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm serious. Set a time to meet God. Say, God, I'll be home at 9 o'clock. Would that work for you?
Yeah.
And guess what we do when we done told our boo that? 3 o'clock, we looking at the clock. Lord, it is nine yet. I'm supposed to be working, but all I can think about is my meeting at nine. That's the way you ought to feel about God. Set aside a specific time and look forward to that time to spend time with him. That's when you're in hot pursuit. You're in hot pursuit then. That's when, Josh, don't get in trouble now. But clean up good and fast when you got a date with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Huh? Yes. Yes. When you got a date with God, do your work good, but be ready to get off. In other words, start anticipating.
Yeah.
Hmm? Cut the glass before you need it, because I got another job to go to. But I'm going to get this glass cut because I need to get off on time because I've got a date with God. Hmm? You don't have to call in sick to have a date with God. Just set the time. He'll be there. Thank you, Jesus. Tell him that you love him. This is how you will grow and begin to fall in love with him. Spend time in his presence. Communicate with him. Here it is. Come to church because you love him.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't come to church to do your duty. Don't come to church because you think somebody else gonna do it if you don't. Come to church because you love him. That's why we, and I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all remember when we kind of pulled back in with the choir thing?
Yeah.
God was really leading me. Because I didn't see some of y'all until it was your Sunday to sing. But you have to come here because you love him. Hell, don't go home because Stephanie's going to ask you where you've been. That ain't the reason to go home. Go home because you love her.
Yeah.
But some of us, if we thought we could get it away, we cut a few corners. Amen, lights and walls. But go home because you love. Not out of obligation, not out of constraint, but come here because you love God and you love your church and you love the people here.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord God.
Y'all, this is just the beginning. This thing is gonna go. It's gonna go. Tell your neighbor, bring your seatbelt next week. But tell them, don't worry, because when we get to the end, you're going to need some sneakers. You're going to need some J's, because, baby, we're going to tear it up. When you really fall in love with God, you'll pursue him. And I'm closing with this, but I got to talk to the ladies. Even our wives. We ought to be still pursuing them.
Yes, sir.
As if we didn't even have them. Are y'all hearing me? And young ladies, if he's not pursuing you,
if you don't have to sleep with him to get your bill paid?
Yeah.
That means he's pursuing you and not your body. Hmm? You don't. Oh man. That's the way we have to go after God. He just wants us to go after him, show him that we want him. And ladies, you ought to be God in the flesh, a feminine God, that you sit right where you are. Don't drop your morals. Don't drop your standards. And if that Negro wants you, he will come where you are. And listen, when he get there, he gonna bring something. Come on, y'all, he gonna bring something that ain't hooked to him. Y'all, see, y'all don't understand what I'm saying.
Come out.
That's real.
That's when you gonna know.
Yeah.
And so even though we got the marriage license on the wall, Dean Harold, we gotta still be pursuing.
Yeah.
Still be pursuing. And that way, when we do that, we'll always know how to pursue God. Because if you can, he said it, but we missed it. He said, if you can't love those whom you're with every day. See, he told us, but we thought it was a relationship with other people, but it's our wives too. So if you can pursue them, then you'll be able to love me like I need to be loved. That's a snid pit of part two. God bless you, Reverend Jones.